Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Pittiger waits. Gilligan takes the snap, puts it down. Kick is on the way, and the kick by Jake Pittiger sails through and good, and Penn State closes the gap. It is 14-10 Minnesota, 21-yard attempt to close the half. Chris Stahl will snap it. Blake Gilligan will put it down. Pittiger will try to kick it through. Good snap, put down, kick is up, and the kick by Pittiger is good. He'll give it to Brooks, breaks a tackle, bounces near side, but hemmed in at the 50 and dropped there. Fumble the football, and I think, did Penn State get there first? Morgan dove in there from Minnesota. We're waiting. And Penn State recovers. Clifford takes it. Fakes over the middle. He's got him. Touchdown, Penn State. Nick Bowers. Penn State gets the shock of Tony fumble recovery, and they get six. Journey Brown is to the left of Sean Clifford. Near corner, it's Journey Brown. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions are within one score with 3:49 to go. His fourth rushing touchdown of the year, but Sean Clifford is down at the seven-yard line. Morgan takes it. He will throw it. Back to pass. Trouble. Heading down. He goes at the 10-yard line. Micah Parsons. Minnesota wins it. They go to 9-0. They defeat Penn State 31-26. The Nittany Lions kept putting the pressure on, but Minnesota was able to somehow hold it off and win it.
Yeah, they gave us a heavy dose of balance, more than we had seen from them. Some non-traditional things for them as well. Obviously, we were able to get settled down in the second half, but we got to be able to make those adjustments quicker. You know, we started poorly on the road against a good football team, which is hard to do, which is hard to overcome, and we still had a chance there at the end. So too many drop balls, interceptions, turnovers has not been who we are. Blown coverages, missing some starters, all those things add up. Tough. You know, we except for the turnover, we won field position, we won the penalty battle, we won the explosive play battle, but we turn the ball over. And if you turn the ball over three times on the road against a top 10 team, you're going to have a hard time winning. We didn't start out clean enough in the first half. They were making plays, and we weren't. Too many drops. It was hard to get in rhythm. Too many interceptions. But in the second half, we did some really good things. That's who we are. But, you know, you can't play a half. You gotta play a whole game. And they had a good plan. You gotta give them credit. They're a good football team, and they had a good plan. The first quarter touchdown on us, something obviously that we hadn't given up all year long, and they really, you know, they were comfortable offensively the whole first half. And again, you can't do that against good teams.
What do you think it meant to Minnesota to play the game with the lead the way they did, to then have you play uphill trying to catch them?
Yeah, as you know, I talked about that all week long.
Yep.
We the game played out the way they wanted it to play out. They did that, and we had a part in it as well. And again, on the road against good teams, they're veteran wide receivers. I thought it was pretty obvious they had veteran wideouts that were playmakers and did a really nice job. You know, who would have thought that we would have led the first half in rushing and they would have threw for more yards? Somewhat unusual, but they did a really good job with their RPO stuff. They weren't throwing it a lot, but they were really efficient. That's what we saw on tape.
And that was quite the scene for Minnesota on Saturday at TCF Bank Stadium. We'll see if they can keep that momentum going in the western portion of the Big Ten Conference. And pleased to have you here for another week's worth of Steve Jones shows here on WKOK. Sean Carey here. Steve, in a moment, will be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors, Kia. On the strip, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Our Monday show is always brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You want the people in your corner that you can trust when life happens. And when the Purdy people go to bat for you, they act like this stuff's happening to them. You know, whether you need homeowners insurance, auto insurance, or bundle them and save, they deal with the products and services that are most reputable, highest rated, so you're going to get more for your budget and more for your money, depending on what insurance you need. So go to purdyinsurance.com or stop by and see them in person on Market Street in Sunbury. And Purdy Insurance, yes, getting some... Adam Purdy and the group at Purdy Insurance getting some great awards here recently from the, yeah, the Daily Item. Adam, congratulations on a
way to go.
Top insurance agent here in the Valley. Well deserved.
Oh, I should.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
They're the best.
Man. And despite what Engel says, Purdy can hit the ball.
I think Engel can hit the ball. Sneaky good.
No, Engel can absolutely hit the ball.
Yeah.
But Purdy can hit the ball. Boy, we had a long, great association with them.
Not stopping anytime soon.
And I would tell them that face-to-face at the holiday party, but you know who scheduled it to make sure I couldn't go.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I really don't.
Oh, I do. I completely understand. So, if you notice the numbers are down at the holiday party, you know who.
Okay.
All right. Obviously, we should get into the game. Then we will. Did you get your invitation to the Tom McGrath tailgate?
Oh, go ahead and say that one more time. We lost your audio there for a second. Here we go. Now we got you back.
Did you get your invitation to the Tom McGrath tailgate?
I actually received a text message this morning from the one and only Gary Goloszewski.
I know.
Yes. I think you were copied in on that text. So.
No, he'd asked me for your number.
No problem.
All right.
Absolutely.
He was also specific. He said, I can give you the suits as well. That was...
He drew the line.
That was met with a no. Something about wanting to have fun.
Suit wouldn't be able to go anyway, just with Bucknell football responsibilities. Bucknell football play-by-play. Actually, Kevin will be handling play-by-play.
Because of basketball.
Correct. Yeah, Bucknell's at Canisius, I believe, on Saturday.
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
So I was going through the Bucknell schedule today because Penn State plays them next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Here.
But yes, invite received for the Gary Goloszewski tailgate. Yes, okay. Looking forward to that. We are 100% in.
You're in.
I'm in.
Really?
We'll be there.
Impressive.
Yeah. Actually, my parking space, because he gave me their location, my parking spot's not too far from where the tailgate's located, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
It's down the hill just a little bit. By about 8-10 rows.
I've got the official menu. Hey.
Oh, yeah. He wanted my email address, so I zipped him that, and I received it as well.
Because it's a noon kickoff.
Yeah.
And I know we'll get to football here in a second. Mayflower breakfast casserole, colonial cheesesteaks, gobble filet nuggets, beverages. Fresh turkey soup, assorted fruits, bacon, turkey, sausage bites, a harvest of variety of snacks.
A Friendsgiving-themed tailgate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wings over Plymouth Rock.
Hello there.
Stuff eggs. All right. Pilgrim pizza dip. Julie's famous lemon rum cake with cranberry sauce. Turkey sausage breakfast sandwiches. traditional bakery oven pizza, snacks, and candy for the kids. Homemade roasted turkey sandwiches with coffee and hot chocolate. Okay. Sweet potato bites. Hard caramel apple cider. There you go.
Yep.
And great pumpkin cookies. Oh, pumpkin and pecan pie bars. How about that?
There's phenomenal chances that I will arrive at the tailgate before you.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's
my deep concern is I don't want to overstay my welcome. Yeah, I gotta know my role, and this is my first time at this awesome, phenomenal tailgate, and I don't want to.
Oh, when it comes to overstaying your welcome, my goodness, I mean, that's been my MO at everything I've done over the years. All right, so. Okay, so we'll get to the game. We'll do that in a moment. Come back. I want to talk about a variety of things, including the two-point conversion deal, okay, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Okay, so let's get into it now. Now we at least open with a little bit of fun, a little levity. Although Gary doesn't think it was levity, it's serious business at Goloshevsky. When you're the curator of the Tom McGrath tailgate, it is serious.
I will definitely know that come Saturday for sure. So.
Well, these are awesome people. You're going to have a great time because they're just really good people, all of them. You know, whether it's Randy, Mary Ellen, John, Mary, Tom, Julie, Gary, Amy, and you just keep up. Brad, Chelsea, you just keep going with all the people. It's great there. So, a lot of fun. The game Saturday. Let's go back to what were the four keys that I laid out in the pregame show on Saturday? Because we have to do keys of the game. So I laid out four of them. And I said, number one was play with the lead. And I talk about this all the time. You know that. You listen to the show. Penn State never once played with the lead in the game. Never. They were always playing uphill. And Minnesota was able to get to the lead, which kept their crowd engaged. They did it. Especially early, they did it on their terms. They went out there. We said last week the two receivers were not good, that they were NFL-level receivers, Bateman and Johnson. And take Johnson's touchdown catch. Johnson's touchdown catch. Keaton Ellis cannot play that any better, but let's give Morgan credit for a great throw and Johnson for a terrific catch because Ellis, all three guys played it right. And because of the quality of the throw, the quality of the catch, they get a touchdown, even though Keaton Ellis played it very, very well. That happens. Sometimes, quote, the other guy does something right. And I'll give Morgan credit. Morgan, I saw the Purdue game. I looked at that. I thought, wow, he's playing really well. And then I looked at the other tapes. I'm like, you know. I got to give him credit. He played an awesome game against Penn State. He was accurate. He probably, you know, he probably had too much time to throw. Penn State then in that opening blitz on the touchdown to Bateman that put Penn State behind, when you do that, there then has to be a compensation for it. And Penn State was late on the compensation of rolling back toward the receiver on it on that blitz from that side of the field. I mean, you can't be late on that. He scores, place goes crazy, 7-0, but Penn State comes back, ties the game. But they kept hitting big plays. You get lucky. There was one they threw to Johnson. I think it was the flea flicker. They threw to Johnson on the sideline. He fumbled the ball, and it's just as Jan Johnson's going to recover it, Tyler Johnson knocks it out of bounds. Smart play by him. He did it deliberately. It was smart. So Penn State, with the unbalanced line, they kept telling him on the sideline, from what I understand, about what adjustments to make, what adjustments to make. But this goes back to what James Franklin said earlier in the year. There are times with this team where they need to sit down and see it. Even though you're trying to tell them what the adjustment is, they have to almost have to see it and draw it out for them at halftime. You know, and you notice in the second half, Minnesota scored once. That was it. There were six drives. They scored once. Penn State has been great in the red zone all season. Not good, great. I mean, they only misfired three times in the red zone all year. One was a missed field goal, and the other one was running out the clock at the end of the game. So that's all they'd missed all year. So they get to the red zone, and they couldn't find, on a couple of occasions, the right combination of plays, or Minnesota defended it well. Which then brings me to the two-point conversion. I have found it very interesting, the people that have said, if you go for one there, then you see they score the touchdown, then you get down that one time, you kick a field goal, then the last time you get down there, you kick a field goal. Okay, so in other words, your analysis is based on how the game turned out. What I'm about to say is what I was thinking in real time when the game was still 24-19. Jack was analyzing the play. I'm looking out there, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're going to go one, make it 4 points, or they want to go for two here? And I said, well, I can keep the offense out there. And Jack's analyzing. I'm thinking, okay. And I'm looking at the board and thinking, okay, they make the two, it's 24-21. They can tie the game with a field goal, or if they score a touchdown, they can then force Minnesota to score a touchdown. They'll be up four. I said, man, this is, you know, there's 19 minutes to go in the game. It made complete sense to me. And I said, they go, no, this makes sense. And if you don't make it, a touchdown still puts you in front. You're still down one score. So when they did it, they ran the play. I didn't think twice about it. I get back here, and I've all these people railing about the two-point conversion. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Two-point conversion made total sense to me. When it happened, I thought, you know, I was like, okay, because I was thinking about it in real time. Because here's one that nobody understands. When you're sitting there in real time against a team whose explicit goal now is to run the clock out, that's what Minnesota's trying to do now. They're trying to run the clock out. Remember, they opened the second half on a what, 5.5-6 minute drive. They didn't score. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to shorten the game. At this point, you don't know how many possessions you have left. You might have only two possessions left in the game. You might have three. But you don't know how many possessions are left in the game. It's easy to look back and say, well, if you'd done this, this would have happened, that would have happened, a field goal would have won at the end. I mean, I'm sorry, anybody post-mortem can do that. It's what you're thinking in the moment, and I agree with what he was doing in the moment.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Congratulations on all their awards. That should be, that's terrific. Adam Purdy and the great people at Purdy Insurance have protecting this valley for decades. Finding you the right insurance, auto, home, life, business bundles. They'll get you the best price. They'll update you when need be. And if there's ever a claim, they'll act as if it happened to them. They care. Good people doing great work. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Coming up on Thursday from Washington, that will be about, what, four blocks from the White House, I believe, when we do this show, our roundtable featuring Justin Michaels, Todd Hummel, Kevin Herr, I'm sorry, I had to sneeze there.
Bless you.
But, Kevin Herr.
Zenite.
It's like an allergy.
Yeah. Sometimes it goes in threes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to have our high school roundtable on where is high school football right now. Did you see the New York Times article? Actually, high school football participation is a rarity in this state. It is actually up 2% from 10 years ago. You'd never know that, but it's actually up 2% from 10 years ago. Ohio is down 27%. Illinois is down 22%. California is down 10%. Texas is down. The numbers on participation across the country are down. Now, we're going to get to Matt Leon here in a few moments Chris Mack in a few moments on the Steelers. All right, and then next half hour, Donnie Collins on Penn State. Then we'll have Dave Cicchini on Bucknell. But when you look at the high school numbers, and this is from the New York Times article, and to their credit, was very well done. You look at it state by state, and Pennsylvania is the outlier at being up 2%, which is amazing. But everywhere else you turn, Arizona, I want to say Arizona's down like 18%. That's where a lot of people have been getting players of late, Arizona. But it's still the most popular sport in high school. Out of every 100 boys in a high school, 14 out of 100 are playing football. I think what would surprise people is what is number two. You know what number two is?
I would automatically think basketball, but I'm probably wrong.
Basketball's third.
Okay.
Basketball's third. Most people would think it's soccer. It's not. It's track and field. So when you go through this article, and you're talking about this 11-man football, overall it's down 11%. So let's give some examples. Pennsylvania is actually up 2% in 10 years. Ohio's down 27%. Indiana down 16%. Iowa down 16%. Let's see. California down 10%. Nebraska down 24%. Maryland's down 18%. Okay, so let's take it now further south. Arizona down 19%. Texas is down 10%. Alabama's up 2%, but Georgia's down 10%. Florida's only down 5%. South Carolina's down 12%. North Carolina's down 12%. So that gives you an example nationwide. Out of every 100 boys in the school, 14 out of 100 play football. Okay? That is the highest number above all. Track is next. Track is next at nearly 8 per 100. Basketball, nearly 7 per 100.
then it's baseball, and believe it or not, soccer's fifth at 6 out of 100. Then it's cross-country, wrestling, tennis, golf, and then swimming in terms of the participation levels per 100. In Ohio, football is down 27%. But the sport that's up 27% is cross-country. Soccer is up over 10 years ago, but it spiked in 2017, but came down last year. Track's up, baseball's the same, basketball down slightly. In Texas, football is down 10% from 10 years ago. The sport that has exploded in Texas, 42% higher than 10 years ago, is soccer. Baseball is up slightly in Texas. Football's down. Track and field, cross country down. Basketball's way down. Basketball's like down like 30% in Texas in terms of participation in high school. So what can be done to reverse this? They're doing everything. It's not as if football doesn't realize it as a problem. Right now, football knows it as a perception problem because the concussion issue from certain organizations, they have hit that issue over and over and over again, and evidently it's resonating with some people. Yet, football is still the most popular participated sport in high school, according to this article in the New York Times. So we're going to get to that later in the week. And Kevin, Justin, and Todd will join us for that. It should be a really, really interesting show. And we're trying to organize for Friday as well, the voices of Penn State. Brian Tripp from hockey's already said he's going to do it. I think we're pretty close to getting Jeff Byers from wrestling to do it. And then we're trying to get Justin Antwiel, who used to be at Bucknell. He's now the Lady Lion play-by-play voice. Going to get Justin on the show, too. All right. Let's get to yesterday's Steeler win. They won four in a row. All that pacing you have done has paid off.
Ah, that 0-3 start, you know?
I know.
Done.
Your defense is terrific.
Lights. It's amazing how that defense has turned with the arrival of Micah Fitzpatrick. So,
well, Watt's playing at a really high level. Bush is playing well. Fitzpatrick now, along with Joe Hayden. You actually have some legitimate professionals playing on your defense.
Bush has had his moments, though. I mean, he's a rookie. I mean, he's learning as he goes, but I think...
Bush has been good.
Yeah, he has, but there's just moments where he could be out of step, out of place, maybe a step or two, and I think it would probably be a lot more magnified out there in the public if it wouldn't been for, you know, Fitzpatrick joining the team.
You're acting like a hater now.
No, just observing.
With disdain.
No.
All right, so let's bring in Chris Mack from Pittsburgh. Hello, Chris, welcome back. The Steelers have now won four in a row.
Yeah.
And they beat the Rams. Now, I want to point out, before we get to it, the Jared Goff numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff, in the last 16 games he has played, has 17 touchdown passes, 16 interceptions, and 16 fumbles in the last 16 games he's played.
He's come back to earth, certainly, hasn't he?
Earth? he's laying flat in his back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Steelers' defense obviously was not going to be an easy test, especially with Cooks out. What would surprise me more than them getting to Goff and disrupting him was the fact that they completely shut down Cooper Kupp completely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think there's some questions about some of the decisions Sean McVay made at several points as well. The horribly telegraphed fake punt. And again, maybe it was an injury concern. Maybe they're still trying to control the mileage on Todd Gurley. But Gurley, you know, carried for 6 yards a carry on a dozen carries, and he doesn't touch the ball once in the fourth quarter. So a couple of things that leave you shaking your head a little bit if you're a Rams fan, I think, after that one.
Yeah, I would think so. What did you think over how the Steeler defense played? What kind of difference is Minkah Fitzpatrick?
I mean, to think about where they were after after week two, you know, when Roethlisberger was done for the year, and you know you're going to have to go forward with Mason Rudolph, you know, how are you going to figure things out? For Kevin Colbert and his staff to jump on Minkah Fitzpatrick the way that they did, I mean, everybody and their mother was calling the Dolphins on every player that they could conceivably make a run at because they knew the way things were going there. And to get Minkah Fitzpatrick for a first-round pick and essentially bet that regardless of how Fitzpatrick played, a first-round pick would be worth it. I mean, you could tell Steelers fans right now that would end up the first overall pick, and they'd say, you know what, that's fine, it's worth it. Minkah Fitzpatrick's that good. He's been otherworldly. They have not had this kind of ball-hawking ability in the secondary since Troy Polamalu.
Right.
And you know, he's not similar to Troy in that he's not going to run up into the box and, you know, leap over the line of scrimmage or anything like that. But that ability to turn the game on one single play, T.J. Watt has it. Certainly, there's a couple other guys, Cam Hayward, Bud Dupree, who show that in flashes. But they haven't had a defensive playmaker like this in years, and it's just what they needed, considering their offense still is having trouble getting their feet underneath them.
Chris, I know it's his second year with the Steelers, but what has also Joe Hayden meant?
Oh, it's the fact that, and not just Hayden. You know, Hayden was huge when they went out and got him because it finally gave them some stability at corner. And
yes,
when they went out and got Hayden, they were a disaster in the secondary. Hayden lent them a little bit of stability, but then to counter that with the signing of Steven Nelson, has been, you know, you don't hear Steven Nelson's name mentioned too often in the course of a game, and that's a wonderful positive for a Steelers corner, because he's just back there shutting guys down, and when they do throw in his direction, generally he's making plays. So their secondary as a whole, their defense as a whole, Steve, it's really hard to find weak links right now on this defense. Mark Barron in coverage is still a liability. I know he racked up a bunch of tackles yesterday, and Terrell Edmonds still has some issues with ball awareness, I think. But other than that, it's really hard to find a weak spot on this defense.
Right, and that the difference T.J. Watt's making. You watch a player develop from one year to the next, and you hope that they'll be better than the previous year. What are you seeing in T.J. Watt that shows you right away that he is better?
Well, I think we've gotten past the point of asking these edge rushers the Steelers have to drop into coverage. That was for a few years, and I think when you get a natural pass rusher like a T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree starting to come into his own as well, you don't ask them to drop into coverage, you know, more than once or twice a game, really. You want those guys to pin their ears back and go get the quarterback. And with Watt, I think, you know, we've seen the value of experience, because as he, just based on simple reps and snaps, he's developing different tactics. He's got a different repertoire. It seems to grow a little bit. And he's got that motor that reminds you of his brother. You know, he's always going, yeah, and he's always after the quarterback.
All right, so let's flip it to the other side now. When you get to the other side and you look at Mason Rudolph, are you seeing progress, or do you feel like you're seeing the same game from him all the time?
I think we're seeing progress. I think, you know, some of the throws he made last night, putting the ball into tight windows, even if a couple of them told me that he's gaining in confidence. You know, the touchdown pass to James Washington, and they have a chemistry going back to Oklahoma State, was a classic example of, I'm going to put the ball where I know only my receiver can get it, and he goes up and gets it. I thought the drop by Deontay Johnson in the first quarter that would have turned into an interception for the Rams, if not for a Jalen Ramsey pass interference, that was really a perfectly placed ball, and Johnson got alligator arms. There were a couple balls that were really well placed. I even think, you know, nobody wants to take a safety, but I thought that play was somewhat indicative of a growing maturity. If that's Baker Mayfield, if that's you know, another young quarterback in the NFL, I don't know if they, and I know that, say that knowing full well Baker Mayfield took a safety yesterday too, but I think a lot of quarterbacks, especially relatively inexperienced quarterbacks, would feel the need to sling that ball out of there just so they don't take the safety, and it might get tipped, picked off, whatever, and turn into 7 points instead. And he said after the game he was well aware, you know, it happened so quick he didn't have time to get rid of it, and he just ate it, and, you know, the 2 points. So I think there's a growing maturity from him. He's starting to gain as much confidence as you can gain in a receiving corps that had four drops yesterday and has made fumbles and drops, unfortunately, a part of their repertoire. So I think we're seeing some growth by Mason Rudolph. You look at his numbers and stack them up against Steeler fans like to do this against what Ben Roethlisberger did in his rookie year.
Sure.
And it's a completely different offense. There's no Jerome Bettis back there. There's no Deuce Staley back there.
There's no,
you know, there's no Hines Ward or Heath Miller, and he's putting up similar numbers.
No Parker. So, no Parker.
Right. Yeah. So that to me is very indicative of continued growth, and I think we'll continue to see it over the last seven games of the season.
Now they put themselves in a spot where people don't realize if the season ended today, which, by the way, I'd like to point out it does not.
It does not, no.
They would be the number six seed.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how far they've come.
It takes, I think, not a temp expectations, but you've got to put it all in perspective that, A, first of all, been left for dead.
Yep.
B, this is a team that is filled with young guys. I talked about the receiving core that's dropping the ball, fumbling it sometimes. You know, they're without a running back basically right now because Jalen Samuels is not a feature back, and James Conner hopes to come back on Thursday night, but still I don't think we'll be close to 100%. A first-year starting quarterback, all shuffling on the offensive line, all these things going on, and they're still in the playoff picture somehow. Now, a lot of that is credit to the defense. A lot of it is credit to Mike Tomlin. I think he's done a great job this year in holding it all together with, you know, gum and tinfoil and guyvering an offense together. But I think it's also – it gives you some perspective that, hey, if these receivers and this quarterback can grow through all of this and still somehow challenge for a playoff spot, imagine what they'll be like when they've gone through this experience and come out on the other end.
One last question. Because mm-hmm. – the unit that we've watched for the past 8 weeks has not had expectations. Has it been in some ways more fun to see?
I think it's been I think to be where they are now, for fans especially, it's more fun to see because I think people are starting to come to that realization that I just described about, oh my God, these guys are growing and getting better.
Right.
But I still think there's an ethos at the core of every Steelers fan that believes if you're not challenging for a championship, that you're not doing enough. So there's always going to be people who feel like not enough is being done, and therefore will always be somewhat disappointed if you don't go to a conference championship game. So I think, you know, there's always going to be those.
Look at the team picture, people.
Right,
at the
exactly.
team picture and say, and then start X-ing out who's not in it.
Right, exactly. So I think at the end of the year, and it's hard to have that perspective in the middle of it because it is so up and down, but at the end of the year, regardless of whether they, you know, end up going 9-7 and missing out on a wild card spot or somehow go 10-6 and get in, which is fairly realistic when you look
sure
at their schedule now,
yes.
which is they've got the state of Ohio for the next 3 weeks, which should get you at least two wins.
Yeah.
So I think when people look back on it, they'll be much more pleased with how it's gone than they are right now in the moment when they feel like every single play is the difference between possibly making a surprise appearance in the playoffs and not.
Chris, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time as always.
No, thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.
Chris Mack from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Next half hour, Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. We'll talk about Penn State's game with Minnesota, then get you ready for Indiana. Final half hour, Dave Cicchini of Bucknell after their big win over the weekend. Plenty to come on the show. Our high school football roundtable will be on Thursday, and our Voices of Penn State segment coming up on Friday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Yeah, all right. Donnie Collins, next half hour. By the way, let's take one quick moment here. Sean and I, along with everyone here at the radio station at WKOK, 94KX, Eagle 107, you know, 100.9 The Valley, all the way through. We want to salute all the veterans out there. All of you who have served our country honorably have done everything that you can to protect our freedom. We're able to go about our daily lives
knowing that at one point or another, you were out there putting yours on the line for us. Whether it was stationed here at home or in South Korea, Germany, Afghanistan, Iraq, wherever it may be. From Sean, me, and everyone here at the radio station to each and every veteran, we just want to say thank you on this Veterans Day 2019. And believe me, we're thankful for it every day and not just on, quote, Veterans Day. We're able to do what we do and enjoy the life we do because we are protected and have been protected by you.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.